Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. I put this question to you this morning. What are the absolutely essential events in the life of Christ revealed in Scripture that had to happen in order for him to be our Savior, in order for us to have peace and comfort and joy and hope and a place in heaven instead of hell? There are actually not that many. The whole life of Christ is essential, of course. Nothing could be otherwise, but the essential key events that happened in his life, you can count them on two hands. The Christ had to be born of a virgin. We covered that last week on Christmas Day. He had to be baptized. We'll cover that next Sunday. He had to institute a new covenant in his blood. He had to suffer and die on a cross. He had to rise from the dead on the third day, ascend into heaven, and send from the right hand of God his Holy Spirit so that the gospel could go out and men could be saved by it. That's really all. And for each of those key events in the life of Christ, the church has set aside a day of celebration, a day of feasting, a festival day on its calendar to be celebrated every year. Which one are we missing? We're missing the one that we hardly ever think about or even talk about, but that the church fathers wisely built into our church calendar to be observed, to be celebrated by the church every year on the eighth day of Christmas, January 1st, today. Without this event, we have no Savior, no Christ, no salvation. Without this event, we are doomed to an eternity in hell and lost in sin. And so today we celebrate it, and we remember with joy that our Savior had to be circumcised. You heard the history, the origin of the Hebrew practice of circumcision in the Old Testament lesson in Genesis chapter 17. When Abraham was 99 years old, God gave him a new name from Abram to Abraham and made a covenant with him. For a quarter century, God had been promising to Abram that he would have a son, offspring, from his own body. For a quarter century, God had been promising him great blessings to this offspring. And now he pronounces this covenant between God and Abraham's offspring. To your offspring I will give this land, this earth, and I will establish my covenant between me and you and your offspring after you throughout their generations for an everlasting covenant to be God to you and to your offspring after you. Now, finally, when Abraham was 99 years old, God says it's time for the promise to be fulfilled. He promises Abraham that within the year, a son would be born to him, a son not yet conceived, but with the promise, also a sign. A sign that would serve as a seal of this all-important covenant in Abraham's flesh and in the flesh of every male descendant of his. A sacred but painful sign for every man and every boy. A sign that every Israelite family would be reminded of whenever a child was conceived and whenever a male child was born. Circumcision, to be performed on the eighth day of a baby boy's birth. That's the brief history of circumcision. That's where it comes from. What's the meaning of it? Why would God impose such a seemingly senseless, painful, irrational mutilation of the flesh on his chosen people? Circumcision served several purposes for the Israelites. They were the only ones who practiced this, the only ones who would ever think of practicing it. No one else, no other nation on earth would ever want such a thing, much less do such a thing. This practice of circumcision separated the Jewish people from all the other nations on earth, and that was all important because God had made an all-important covenant with Abraham and his descendants, his offspring. Circumcision also served as a minor punishment from God, marking a man as a sinner who needed to have not his flesh, but his sin cut away from him. And notice when. Not after a long life of racking up sins, but after only 8 days of being alive outside the womb. And here the scriptures emphasize this teaching that we call original sin. That it's not just the bad things we do and say that make us guilty before God. It's this sinful flesh with which we're born, this sick and twisted, corrupted flesh that is the source of all actual sins. It's the one we inherit from our parents and they from theirs. So that believers and unbelievers alike are all still plagued with this sinful flesh that always runs away from the true God, that runs away from his love and mercy in Christ, that makes us the sinners that we are. Because of that sinful flesh that dwells in all of us, Jewish baby boys got to be marked with a sign. A sign that we can't save ourselves from our inborn sin. A sign that it needs cutting around and cutting out of us by someone else. The sign of circumcision was God's covenant promise to do just that for Abraham and for his offspring. So fast forward 2,000 years from the time of Abraham. And there were Mary and Joseph and the baby just born to Mary, still in Bethlehem. And as the law demanded, they had this baby boy circumcised, just like every other Jewish baby boy, except that this Jewish baby boy wasn't like the rest. He was conceived by the Holy Spirit of a virgin. No sinful man intervened in the conception of this child, only God himself. This baby had no sinful flesh that needed to be cut away or that needed marking with a sign. Why should this child be circumcised? There's a very important verse in the book of Galatians, just prior to the epistle lesson you heard today. Listen to what the Apostle Paul says. Now the promises were made to Abraham and to his offspring. It does not say and to offsprings, referring to many, but referring to one. And to your offspring, who is Christ. And that right there changes everything. It means that neither Isaac, Abraham's son that was born to him, nor the people of Israel that were descended from Isaac and his son Jacob, none of them were the actual intended recipients of this covenant that God made with Abraham and his offspring. To be sure, the nation of Israel was included into the covenant with Abraham and his offspring, but they weren't the intended recipients. There was only one. There was only one heir of Abraham, one offspring of Abraham, who would receive all of the promises God made to Abraham and his offspring, and that is Christ. Christ, the baby born of Mary, was that intended recipient. And so Christ was the offspring who was to be born of Abraham, and according to the covenant, is the one who would be the heir who would receive all the promises, including inheriting the earth and an eternal place in God's family. Not just as the Son of God. Those things belong to him as the Son of God from all eternity, but now also as a human being, as the Son of Man, and that's the part that helps you and me. But if, and only if, he is circumcised according to God's word to Abraham, according to this law that God gave, and brought into this covenant God had made with Abraham long ago. Our Savior had to be circumcised so that as the Son of Man, he could inherit all the promises God made to Abraham and his offspring and then give away his inheritance to whomever he chose. And that's why we celebrate also the name of Jesus today, the name that was officially given to him on the eighth day of his birth, the same time he was circumcised. Because God's purpose from the beginning was that this offspring of Abraham should inherit everything and give it away by receiving the name Yeshua, Jesus, Jesus, Savior. Savior of whom? Of those who are circumcised like he was? Yes, but also of those who are uncircumcised, of all who trust in him and his saving name of Savior. By that first infliction of pain on the innocent baby Jesus, in that first shedding of his holy, precious blood, God's covenant with Abraham and with his offspring was fulfilled. And so the sign of circumcision was also completed and done away with. Now Jesus, the heir of all things as both God and man, as the heir of the covenant, could open the way for a new covenant to be made, a covenant in his blood. That first shedding of his blood when Jesus was circumcised was a foreshadowing of what his entire life was meant for. Did you catch that in that hymn stanza, that beautiful hymn that we just sang before the sermon? His infant body now begins the cross to feel. Those precious drops of blood that flow for death the victim seal. Every other Hebrew baby who was born and circumcised was already marked for death before he was circumcised by the sin that he inherited from his parents and from Adam and Eve. But this Hebrew baby, this Jesus, was not marked for death, not by sin, but by choice. His blood never needed to be shed except as the price for the sin of his brothers. And so his name is rightly called Jesus, Savior, because this is how he would save his brothers from their sins. by the shedding of his blood. That was the cost of your sin. That was the price of your forgiveness. That was the sign of God's love for the world. Because your blood was not worth enough, but his was. His blood was worth enough to open a new covenant. And since he was the heir of the first covenant made with Abraham and his offspring, only Jesus has the right to make a new covenant, a covenant of the forgiveness of sins with anyone he chooses. And he chooses not those who deserve it, not those who work for it, but he chooses sinners. And even now, his gospel goes out to sinners. Repent. Turn away from your godless life and believe in the good news that a Savior has been born to you, that a Savior has been circumcised for you, and that this Savior has the right to hold out to you a new covenant of the forgiveness of your sins to you, and also with it a new sign and seal of this covenant. You know what that is. It's circumcision. But it's a different kind of circumcision. This is what Paul says in Colossians chapter 2. In him you also were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of the flesh, by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. Baptism is the new sign of the new covenant. God's way of bringing you into the family of the offspring of Abraham and also the family of his father. Just as circumcision was God's way of bringing Jewish baby boys and actually their whole families into the family of Abraham and of God. You heard what Paul said in the epistle lesson today. In Christ Jesus, you are all sons of God through faith. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Jamie and her son Jeremy were baptized just a few months ago. They put on Christ, as I think all the rest of us did at one time. They were made heirs together with Christ then, heirs of all the promises that he receives and that he gives. And today, Jamie will also be confirmed in the faith and welcomed into the family meal instituted by Abraham's offspring. The family meal of the forgiveness of sins, the continuous forgiveness of sins, the family meal in which Christ, Abraham's offspring, comes and gives his own body and his own blood to us, the actual blood of the new covenant that was once shed on Calvary, but first shed in Bethlehem on the eighth day of his birth, when our Savior was circumcised. Our Savior had to be circumcised so that you too could be included among Abraham's offspring and made heirs of all the promises of God. As sons of God by faith in Christ Jesus, as baptized believers, all of us, men, women, boys, girls, old, young, Jews, Gentiles, we all receive the inheritance of Jesus, our brother. We all receive the inheritance of a Father in heaven, the inheritance of a righteousness before God in spite of our sins. We all receive his inheritance of the earth, of heaven, of the past, the present, the future. All things are yours because our Savior was circumcised and you have been baptized into him. Amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.